Assalamu alaikum. So, in the last session, we stopped halfway through telling the story of Rajulun Yasa, the running man. And before we continue, let's do a quick recap, highlighting some of the Quranic vocabulary that we looked at. So, we were looking at section two now, titled Lessons from the Past, where Allah begins verse 13, giving us a mathal, an example of the people of the town where messengers had been sent. How many messengers? Bithalithin, three messengers. And the people of the town rejected them using the excuse that they were basharun mithluna, human beings just like themselves. The messengers didn't get disheartened. They continued doing their job because they said, Rabbuna ya'lam. Allah is al-alim. He knows everything. He knows that we're doing our job. The people continued to taunt the messengers and they said, you are bringing with you tatayyarna. They accused the messengers of bringing a bad, evil omen, the bird of evil omen. And the messengers then replied, saying, no, this tatayyarna, this bad luck, has been brought on by your own selves because you are qawmun musrifoon. You are a people who commit israf. You commit excessive sinning and disobedience against Allah. And then from the far outskirts of the city came Rajulun Yas'a, a man running, and he told his people, Ya Qawmi, do you remember what he told them? Follow, so what was that? Ittabi'ul Mursaleen, follow the messengers. That's right, he told them, Ittabi'ul Mursaleen, follow the messengers. Now, from Quran commentary, we learn that this man was called Habib al-Najjar, the Habib, the carpenter, and he was someone who was held in high regard. The Holy Prophet, in one of his hadiths, even quotes saying that Habib al-Najjar is one of three people who submitted to the call of a prophet immediately, just like Imam Ali did to the call of Prophet Muhammad. So that tells you how highly looked upon Habib was. Now, over the next few verses, we're going to hear the conversation that Habib had with his people and with himself as he reflected on what the reasons should be that he should listen to the messengers and how were they right in what they were telling the people to do. So in Ayah 21, he tells his people, listen to the messengers because they're not asking you for any ajr. They're not asking you for any reward. Now, how unusual is that? Nobody does something for nothing, right? Everybody usually expects something in return. But the quality of a messenger is that they never ask for any ajr, any reward. Do you remember somebody who did ask for something instead? Do you remember what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi said? He said, I don't want any reward except illa al-muwaddata fil qurba, except the love of my family. That's the reward he wanted. And by us loving the Ahlul Bayt, it is a way of showing our gratitude to the Holy Prophet for the hardship that he underwent and for the message that he brought us. But going back to Habib, he's reminding the people that these messengers do not want any ajr, any reward, and they are rightly guided. And then he goes on in verse 22 to say, and why should I not serve the one who brought me into existence, and to him I shall return? Habib's now thinking about him, his own self. Who is it that created me? Where will I go when I die? And he comes to realize that there is someone who created me, Allah, so how can I not worship him? And all of us have within us this voice of Habib, this voice of truth within us, a compass that points us to Allah, of helping us to know what the right thing is. And we have to learn to listen to that voice. He goes on in verse 23 to say, "Shall I take gods besides the All-Merciful? For if anything happened to me, they would not be able to help me." And what Habib is saying is that if any harm was to come to me, would these idols that I worship, would they be able to stop the harm coming to me? Would they be able to give me shifa, help? Would they be able to stop them? No, these idols are not going to be able to be of help to me. So how can I worship them? And he goes on to say, no, if I did that, I'd be in clear error. I would be at such a loss worshipping something that brings me no benefit. And he continues by telling his people in ayah 25, "Inni amantu," I believe. Or he tells the messengers, "I believe." "Inni amantu bi rabbikum," I believe in your Lord. And then he tells his people, "So listen to me." But did they listen to him? Because in ayah 26, the next thing we hear is that Habib is being told, enter Jannah. So what's happened in between? Here's Habib telling everyone, listen to the messengers. And the next thing he knows, he's hearing a voice telling him, enter Jannah. That's right. Habib has died. The people did not want to listen to him and they have pelted him with stones. Do you remember that was the punishment that they were telling the messengers, that they would throw stones at them? So that's what they've done. They've thrown stones at Habib to the point where he has now died. But there's good news that awaits Habib, because he's told, enter Jannah. And straight away, what is the first thing that we hear that Habib says? He says, "Oh, would that my people would have known." Now he's died and still his thoughts are with his people. He's still feeling regret for his people. "Oh, I wish they'd have known." What is it he wants them to know? And he says in verse 27, "I wish my people would have known for what my Lord has done. He has forgiven me and placed me amongst the honored ones." Now let's think back. If we go back to verse 11 of Surah Yasin, Allah had told the Holy Prophet to give the people who have followed the Quran and were aware of him, Allah had told the Prophet to give them bashar, good news. Do you remember what that bashar was? There were two things: maghfira, forgiveness, wa ajrin kareem, and a most generous reward. And now, if we look now at verse 27, what are the two things that Habib is being given and wants to tell his people about? He's saying, "My Lord has forgiven me and placed me in a place with the honorable ones." The same two things that Allah had promised in ayah 11. And he wants to now share this with his people. And he's having regret for them not knowing such a thing. And that's a beautiful lesson that we can learn. The legacy that this man left behind in him accepting the truth, wanting to sincerely share it. Allah reminds us of this lesson and he makes us think about, are we going to be left with regrets? Are we listening and doing what we are told to do? And ayah 28, Allah says, "We did not send down upon his people armies from heaven, nor did we send down anything apart from sayhatun wahidatun, a single sound, and behold, they were extinct." Now, what are we learning from this verse? That's right. The people of this town have been punished but not by an army of angels or any other group of people that have been sent down, but rather by Seihatun Wahidatun, by a single sound. Now, we don't know what this sound is. It could have been a thunderbolt or an earthquake, but there was something so sudden that it wiped out and it made extinct the entire town. And that's a lesson to us. Even if we look at the pyramids and the people who built them thinking they would live forever, are they there now? No. What about other places and towns where people have been wiped out from? There are lessons in this, Allah is showing us that nothing will remain forever. We will all return to Him one day. And Allah reminds us and summarizes it by saying, have you not seen how many generations have been destroyed before you? And so these stories of the past always hold a lesson for us to think about how can we learn from them. So the new vocabulary as we completed this section was ajr, reward, shifa, help, and seihatun wahidatun, the loud sound. We now start section 3, when we're going to be looking at the present world around us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.